23 minutes past 8 o'clock this Friday morning. Brooks Spector, our U.S. foreign policy expert, joining us on the line now. Brooks, this was only the second round of debates amongst the plethora, really. I think there were 20 of them over the two nights, of the various candidates vying for their position of presidential candidate to stand up against Donald Trump in 18 months' time. Are we any clearer as to who the man or the woman will be that will be competing against Donald Trump?
Well, before I even answer that, let me state unequivocally, I do not put sugar in tea
or coffee.
Nor do I put condensed milk on bread.
Does not make sense to me whatsoever.
But other than those important materials issues, we're a little bit clearer on understanding who the front runners are. We are nowhere near, as your lead-in says, close to the conclusion of this. We're barely at the beginning of it. There is a year and a half to go still until the election, practically. In the two-night debate series with the 20 different people, and they were assigned one night or the other purely on a random basis, and the qualifications were simply that as individuals who had declared their candidacy, they had to have achieved at least a certain level of attention and support on a list of public opinion polls, and to have raised at least a certain amount of money as campaign contributions from a certain number of people distributed across the country, as indicators, both of them, of at least some support, rather than simply you or I standing up and say, hey, I'm a candidate as well. I want to be on the debate. So as a result, on the first night, the standouts, apparently, at least if you follow the way commentators are dissecting it and redissecting it subsequently, and if you watch them, as I did, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, as representatives of the leftward edge of the Democratic Party's thinking, spent a fair amount of time agreeing with each other and effectively refusing to argue with each other. Because after all, they're appealing to the same demographic and same support base, and they have to somehow push people into a binary choice. But it may be too early to try to do that. On the second night, the widely expected clash of the titans, if you will, Joe Biden, the former vice president, Kamala Harris, senator from California, and Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey, bumped into each other a fair amount, and the real issue was whether Joe Biden could continue to take a punch or two and maintain his so-called front-runner electability status candidate. He came out a little bruised, he came out a little battered, he came out a little bloodied, but I think the polling in the next couple of days is going to demonstrate that Joe Biden remains the front-runner for most, or at least a good portion of Democrats, if for no other reason than he's a known quantity. He's good old Joe. He speaks the language of normal people. He calls things that are foolish, you know, spade a spade. He calls them out. It's malarkey. It's shenanigans. And he is trying very hard to somehow hold on to that middle moderate ground that is presumed to be where most people are in their minds as you head into the actual primary season come January. One of the other features of this is this 10 people at a time in a room shouting at each other, moderated by a bunch of lion tamers, you know, who were ostensibly from, in this case, CNN. It's not a really good format for informed, thoughtful discussion.
Not at all.
You get things in 1 minute sound bites or 1 minute periods with a sound bite bootlegged into it, and it doesn't really deliver on a sustained, thoughtful discussion. The other curious feature is, given the fact that Barack Obama still maintains something on the order of about a 95% approval rating among Democrats. Barack Obama was president for two terms as a Democrat, ending in 2017. The Democratic the would-be candidates on both nights, with Joe Biden as the exception, basically, kept poking at Barack Obama's record more than Donald Trump's, which is weird.
Well, is it, though? Because Joe Biden, as the presumed frontrunner, and really in the debate on Wednesday night, I think, showing the fragility of his candidacy, he is so obviously associated with President Barack Obama. And in fact, and I think it was Senator Cory Booker who said at some point, why are you picking at his legacy when it's convenient for you, but staying away from it when it's not convenient for you?
Well, that's the irony or the dilemma for Joe Biden. He has to embrace Barack Obama in an absolute veritable bear hug to somehow gain some of that reflected glory. I know that's mixing all kinds of metaphors, and I'm sorry. But at the same time, he has to somehow differentiate himself from Barack. He's not Barack Obama Light or Barack Obama Term 3, and simultaneously differentiate himself from all the other people on the stage. And that's a hard balancing act to achieve. There's one other note, and I just toss it out quickly. A couple of the less likely candidates, people who are almost certainly not going to become the nominee, made a point of saying, wait a minute, why are we picking on people's records, in this case Joe Biden's, from 20, 30, 40 years ago? We should be arguing, discussing, debating, proposing about how we're going to address the future. Now, that's important, but it kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Brooks, thank you very much indeed. As you said, 18 months away from the next election in the United States, Brooks Pector, the U.S. foreign policy expert, there certainly was a consensus on only one thing, and one thing only, that's the unseating of the president. How to go about doing that, though, still remains an issue of debate.